Hare Krishna. Today is 14th August, 2010. Spiritual activities should never become ritualistic. And by the power of material nature, whatever you do best turns to be ritual in the future. Is it not true? Whatever you do, you may start with big bang, but then it reduces to a mere ritual. Say you get married and you decide, ki, from the day one of my marriage, I will go to church with my husband every week. From the day one of my marriage, I'll go to temple every morning to see the Lord. Start only with a very beautiful, auspicious beginning. And afterwards what happens? So many things come up and we forget everything. And yes, even if you go there are 50 things on your mind, it just becomes a ritual. Because the force of the material world is to reduce everything to material. Remember that. Material world is designed such a way that you become material or materialistic. And if you want to remain spiritual in this situation where the force is towards materialism, then you have to put something of yours in that. That is called efforts. Unless you put in your efforts, everything is just going to be materialistic in the course of time. What happens if you stand in the river, suppose? You just cannot stand. If you just stand, you will be taken by the water. You have to stand there, you have to put in your efforts to be in that, at least in that position. If somebody is standing in the middle of the running river and you see the person in the same position, so you should understand he is doing some effort to stand there. If he doesn't do any efforts, what will happen? He will just go with the water. And what if he has to go against the current of water? You can imagine how much energy he has to put in. If he has to go against the current of water, you can imagine in the Himalayas, the Ganga is flowing like this fast, 60, 70, 100 kilometers per hour speed, and you are supposed to swim upstream. How much efforts are there? The spiritual life is swimming upstream towards the Lord. Material life is going from top to lower level. And spiritual life is always against the stream. Spiritual life is exactly opposite the material flow of life. So you can imagine, the force is very strong against us also. And if you want to go upstream, then we must do some effort. Even if you do some effort for some time and then you can do some effort for some time and then you give up for some time, be sure that you will be dragged down for some time. Suppose you do effort for a few days and then you fail in doing the effort, what will happen? Again you will be coming back. So you said, what is the use? You know, I just did so much effort and I reached here and I just gave up and again I am back to the same position or maybe lower than that also. The spiritual life means constant efforts. It is not that someday you do some effort and someday you don't do and you expect yourself to be still there only where you left your efforts. Similarly, the spiritual care meeting that we come, please do not make it ritual. You know, you have just come here and sit here. Unless you think about it, unless you prepare about it, unless you have some meditation going on, you have some questions in your mind, you are practicing something at home, you have some queries about that, then this meeting will become very, very useful. Very nourishing. It will not be one-way traffic. It will be very nourishing, rejuvenating and charging, spiritual charging. Everything becomes ritualistic, you know. Everything. Every single thing in life. But a devotee is that person who makes everything enlivening and spiritual by his own efforts. That is devotee. So daily we do prayers to Lord, right? You can reduce it to a mere ritual. Useless thing you can make it. By yourself only you can make it. Make it most mechanical, make it most heartless, make it most unwanted, boring activity. By your own efforts, by your own activity. Going to church, what a boring activity. Papa is forcing me, mummy is forcing me, husband is forcing me. Okay, I'll go there for a few minutes, I'll spend and come back. You know. Then I'll go to see a movie or a picnic, something like that. It is said that whatever interest we have in our enjoying activities, if we can repose those interests into spiritual activities, our life will be successful. This is not true. Now the way you take so much interest in dressing yourself, feeding yourself, or watching a movie, or party, or picnic, or something like that, in which we put so much of heart, you know, in researching and thinking, meditating, making traveling plans, making so many things, so many months sometimes we put in energy. And then finally we do the activity. For marriage, for example, you know, so many days planning, bookings, menu, cookings, and days, dresses, ornaments. How much you have to plan? How many days it will take to make the ornament ready? And then that event takes place one day. So much of energy, mind, enthusiasm we put in that. For those things which are only temporary. They are going to end sometimes. Marriage day also is going to begin and it will end in the evening. It will not just continue forever. Honeymoon also will begin and end. Picnic also will begin and end. For such things which are having a beginning and end, we put so much of energy, effort, interest, enthusiasm in that. If only all these things we put in for the Lord, then you will get eternal things which will have no beginning and no end. And the soul is looking for pleasure which has no beginning and no end. And the soul is not satisfied when it is given pleasure which is having beginning and end. Please think, these lines are very deep lines. They are all from scriptures. You as a soul, as a living entity, is not going to get satisfied in pleasures which have beginning and end. And precisely if you and us and me and you and everybody, if you think all of us are enthusiastically putting all our efforts into those things which have beginning and end. Is that true? Say maintaining our beauty, for example, you know. So much efforts we do. We do makeup, we do hairstyle, we do this, we do that, we put colors, this, that, eyebrows, and so many things we do. What happens after a few days? What happens after a few hours of doing makeup? It goes away, fades. You look with the makeup only, you look, after also with makeup on also you look dull. Not very fresh. And after a few days, the hair color also goes away. And you anyway have graying of the hair after some time. Is it all controllable? No. All things are perishable. And we put so much energy into that. So, by the arrangement of the Lord, if there is a possibility and facility for all of you to spend some time together in pure spirituality, it just doesn't happen like that, you know. You are coming from your work, you have something is already going on in the background, which you have left and you have come here, and 1 hour you are going to be here. Some few minutes in the beginning, the hangover is going to be there, you know. She will think, now will she do the patients remaining all right or not? You will think, will the thing go on in the ward properly or not? She will think something else, naughty is going on properly or not. I just left that baby to that nurse. Is he going to take care of her or not properly? Sometime the hangover is going to go on. By the time you get in this actual into spirituality, by the discussion here, it comes to an end. But for me, when I have to hold a program here for you, I am meditating since morning. What I am going to do today, either I am traveling or sitting or whatever, I am taking bath or getting ready, I am thinking about it. Then only this program will be interesting. If I am also totally blank about what I am going to do, then you must have felt some days you may not have felt such nourishment, because I was too tied up with too many things, and suddenly I come here and still I have to also gather myself to put in some energy here. So why I ask you at the beginning of every program any questions, I want to just test you whether you are thinking about this thing or not. If you are thinking about these things or doing something in the week, then you will have to have a question. Questions are for those people, or those people have questions who have some practice going on. Two kinds of people don't have any questions. One who are totally blank, don't know anything. And second person is who knows everything, doesn't have any question. So we can't be on the other end, right? We have to be either blank. But if you have begun somewhere in your spirituality, then you will have question. So you may say, yeah, I do prayers, I do every day evening. But have you taken that as the important thing in your life? Whatever little time prayer you do, have you taken that prayer as the foremost thing in your life? As the purpose of your life, as the goal of your life, as the essence of your life, for which you are living, you know. By the way, I have to work hard in the daytime to do so many things as mother, father, as sister, as husband, wife, child or teacher or whatever, professional activities. That is, by the way, I have to do because I have to maintain my body and live in this world, survive. But I don't live for those things. I live to pray to the Lord. I live to be connected to the Lord. If that is your understanding, then even those few minutes that you spend with the Lord are going to be most fruitful for you. Most useful, most fruitful, most nourishing and most encouraging for you to continue your life with all the adversities in life. But if you just make that thing as a ritual, then it will be most boring activity for you. You will go on losing interest day by day. Today you are doing 1 hour prayer, tomorrow 45 minutes, next week 30 minutes, and you will not even know when it will become zero. One day you skip it and next day you feel, yesterday also didn't do it, today also I will not do it. What is the big thing? What is the big loss? Everything is going well. Still rains are coming. Still grains are coming from the rains. Nothing is going to stop. That is not spiritual life. Spiritual life truly means if you consider yourself that you have spiritual life, it means it is continuously going on. It is never hindered in between. It is never stopped in between. It is never, you know, cut off in between. What is spiritual life's definition? Ahaituki aprahatiyata. The words are Sanskrit words. Ahaituki means unmotivated. There is no motivation. When I pray to the Lord, I don't say that my salary will increase, my health will increase, I'll become more beautiful, I'll become more powerful, I'll get promotion, I'll become famous, my child will get good examination marks. This is not the motivation. I pray only for sake of praying because I love you, my Lord. I want to pray and offer my love to you through my prayers. And apratyata means there is no interruption in between. It's a continuous process. Actually, you live for that only. By the way, in between you have to do your duties. But there is a continuity. Have you heard any recording sometimes where there is Ganpati ka music going behind and somebody speaking in between? And as soon as the person takes a break in between speaking, again the music is heard. And he starts speaking, the speaking is heard. When he takes a break in between, by looking here and there, the music again is heard. Have you seen the recording like that sometimes? Many times I have heard recordings like that. Recordings where a pravachan is going on in a place near Ganpati festival. Some pravachan is going on and it's being recorded. So when the person is not speaking, for example, I take a break, for example. And I just look at all of you. In between there is no sound, so all the background sound is recorded. And when he speaks, that is recorded. Why I am giving this example to you? Because the background sound is continuous. And in between the words are being spoken, they are recorded. As soon as the words are stopped, background music continues to be recorded. Like that, at the background of our mind, spirituality must continuously go on. As soon as you stop doing something, immediately name of the Lord should appear in your mind, quickly. You got my point? While you are cooking, background of the mind is continuous prayer to the Lord, should be there. And when you're actually giving lectures or doing some work and all, there is some break in between. But as soon as that stops, naturally the prayer of the Lord, name of the Lord will be chanted in the mind of minds. Sitting in the train should be never blank. Automatically the background music should come in the name of the Lord. That is spiritual life. Continuity. You wake up in the morning, first thing, the name of the Lord should be start ringing in the mind. Or in your tongue, or in your lips. Immediately, as soon as you wake up, that means the process is continuous. You left when you went to sleep and you began when you woke up. And it will continue till you don't speak to anybody. If you have to speak to your husband, wife, brother, sister, that is only a temporary intervention. Again, you are getting dressed up, combing your hair and getting ready, getting your bags ready. It's going on. You're traveling, sitting, rickshaw, train, all these things, walking on the road. It should go on. Like I see so many of you, going through my building down, two of his assistants, Sister Tracy, I see Sister Suchitra. So I always think, you know, such a nice time. You're just walking peacefully to the work. You can keep praying to the Lord and walk. Just completely absorbed. You're just walking. Use the time. And somebody goes on a walk, say 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day. You just keep praying to the Lord. Yes.
Continuously we hear this. So that is why when we go out and so the mind is continuously that comes.
That should be practiced. My point is that if it is happening, it is an excellent thing in your life. You are a blessed soul if that is happening to you. But if not happening to you, make it happen. Don't just give up. Because your life is meant for that. Ultimately you may be a professional by chance, you know. I may be a doctor, maybe nurse, somebody may be something else. That's just the means to live the life. It's not the end of life, not the goal of life.
But along with that, what is the impact of this depression and what we call
sound?
Slokas. Slokas.
They are like hymns. Yeah. They are like hymns. They are all prayers only.
Yeah.
The prayers are considering consisting of glorifications or actually making requests, nivedan to the Lord, or praising Him, or thanking Him, or begging pardon of our mistakes. All those consist of prayers. Prayers are consist of that only.
Why I am asking this? Because always if you said, if for this particular case, Lakshmi, this should be there. Or for this, whether...
Again, I tell you.
Huh?
For this means motivation. When you say for this, motivation already is there. Okay? I am talking about a situation of pure devotion to Lord, which is defined as ahaituki. No motivation. If you say for prolonging husband's life, you should just do this prayer. Is that true? They will go and do pradakshina of what, Purnima, of banyan tree. There is a purpose behind it, ki my husband should live long. That is not pure devotion. That is some motivation. When you do, on this day, you close your books and open your new books and Lakshmi Pujan, that is a motivation, ki my business should go well. Now this is the day you go there and you get a good husband. So you do so many rituals and so many prayers to get a good husband. And somebody will do for a good wife, or good money, a good job, or good thing, or flying. That means they want to fly to other countries, so they do some prayers. This is not pure devotion. We want to be continuous with those prayers which are ahaituki, which are not meant for any other gain. Oh, I should remain healthy in my old age. That is not our prayer. Our prayer is, my Lord, we love you. We want to take shelter of you. We want to surrender to you. Our life should be at your lotus feet. That is our prayer. In that prayer, there is no gain. Automatically, all gains are included in that prayer. You don't have to ask for separately. If a child is saying, Mummy, take me in your lap, then the child doesn't separately pray, Mummy, also feed me, Mummy, also change my nappies, Mummy, also give me new clothes. No. Once you say, Mummy, take me in your life, in your lap, everything is fulfilled there. All your prayers are fulfilled. You don't have to ask separately for this and for that. You only make one prayer, which is all encompassing. Because time is very short, na? You need to show everything shortcut. So we have also shortcut pure devotional service. What is that? Just chant the name of the Lord. Offer prayers through the name of the Lord. There is no need of thousands of prayers. There is only need of one prayer, that is the name of the Lord. In your religion, in your way, in your caste, in your system, in your creed, in your nationality, wherever you are, take the names, bona fide names of the Supreme Lord. Nobody in between, only Supreme Lord. Whatever addresses in your religion, the Supreme Person, that name you take, and offer your prayers. And offer prayers only for one thing, please give me shelter under your shade of your mercy. The Lord is so merciful, so kind, so compassionate, you know. His love is for everybody. He doesn't differentiate between whites and blacks and rich and poor. He is simply eager to give mercy to us more than we are eager to take His mercy. You will understand if I give example of mother and father. They are more interested in taking care of you than you want them to take care of you. All of your mothers, you know, much better than me. Huh? You want your mother to take care of you, but your mother wants to take care of you more than what you want from your mother. If your mother can be like that, how merciful the Lord must be. Just see and just think about it. Mother also is going to die one day. Mother also is going to stop loving you as a small baby after some time, right? When you grow up, he's not going to feed you in your lap and with spoons and everything. There's going to be change in mother's love also. But in essence, it will remain same. But she also will die one day. And the love will be broken by the power of time. But the Lord's love is not like that. It's not going to be hindered by your life and your death. And not going to be hindered by your growing and your being young. It is not going to be hindered by anything. Lord's love is going to be continuously same and ever increasing for you. So if you can appreciate mother's love, who is so selfless in this world, you can imagine how many multiples of that the Lord's love must be. But we are not very serious about it. We don't want to make it the goal of our life. We don't want to make it the purpose of our life. That's why we feel dry in our life. We don't feel very enchanted and very, you know, enlivened all the time. If you are God conscious, you will be always enlivened, always enthusiastic, always blissful, always bubbling with enthusiasm and happiness. That is spirituality. Spirituality in essence is only bliss, nothing else. If you are blissful continuously, it has to be spirituality, because material bliss is never permanent. It's always ending after some time. You make a very good dish and you're hungry and you eat that, you'll be happy. But after you fill your stomach and the same best dish comes in front of you, it's not going to be pleasure to you. You feel it's enough now. Tomorrow I'll take it. Is it true or not? You are experiencing that in life? Yes, everybody is experiencing that. We are not looking for those kind of pleasures. Our soul is not hankering for such pleasures. Soul is hankering for pleasures which are eternal, which are spiritual in nature. So now you have any questions? I had something to tell you, so we can take questions in the end. In your work, if you want to be effective spiritually, the nursing profession or mother's profession, mother being mother and a teacher's profession, or whatever you do in life, whatever roles you have to play in life, there are three stages which we have discussed earlier also. I'd like to revise here. The first stage is that you see the Lord in the temple or in the deity. You appreciate Him. Oh, when I go to this place, I feel God's presence very much. It may be church, synagogue, or Gurudwara, or temple, or church, or whatever. And then when you make continuous progress in this situation, you are regular and you are very particular and you are very enthusiastic in the activity of prayers, then they will come when you will see the Lord in the fellow living beings also. Or to begin with, those who come with you to the church or temple, you see the Lord in the Lord's deity also, and you will see His presence in the fellow devotees also. And the third stage, you continue the same thing, devotion to Lord, then you will see the Lord in all the human beings. All men, women, children, everybody, human beings. And after that, you will see the Lord in even all living beings. Birds and reptiles and animals and everything that is living, you see the Lord's presence in that. See, my Lord is present in everybody. And the further stage than that is, you see the Lord not only in living things, but also in non-living things also. You see Him everywhere. That means what? You see anything in the world, it reminds you of the Lord. See, the Lord is so beautiful. I was passing the train today, I was coming back to Bombay. As in Dhaisar, I was watching the slums very carefully. It was raining, no? So I was thinking how they must be living. Very intently I was looking. And I saw that they all constructed their houses very beautifully in the slums, nicely tiled. And they have put, you know, cement, concrete, ceilings also. Everything is like gradually made all permanent, and there is sort of board there. So and so, Raivashi Sangha, you know, some union is there of the residents over there. And I saw every 5 minutes distance there was a well in the slums. And they were fetching water from the well. I said, my God, you know, such a area which is so damped and so crowded, there are wells provided there. But every house I saw, that there were mugs and buckets filled of water. So I was looking anxiously, where is the source of water? The municipality was providing pipe water there. So there were so many wells, at least 5 wells I saw. After Dhaisar station, till Borivali station. And I told Mr. Dubey, see how the how the Lord is merciful, no? Even in this situation, He has provided water supply to you. So what I am trying to tell you is that if one is God conscious, then you will be able to see God's hand in everything. Wherever you go, you will see how the Lord is very mercifully providing us everything, running everything beautifully. I went to Vrindavan, Mathura area, not raining so heavily, it rained. I felt our life is so fortunate, we are having so much rain over here. The people are suffering, they don't have rains. You can't even imagine to have so much greenery. Some greenery was there because of some rains. But here we go from here to Gujarat, it's just flooded with green carpet everywhere, both sides you see only green, green and green. There's no inch of land left, it's fully green. Do we ever appreciate that? Oh, this is Lord's mercy. You see, everything is so green and beautiful and so pleasant to be with. We fail because we don't appreciate. If God is in our mind, then you can appreciate this very nicely. You can see this as His creation. So if you need to be very effective in your profession, in your work, you need to learn to see in everybody the presence of God. In your colleagues who operate with you, in your colleagues who work with you, in the colleagues who stay with you in the house, in the colleagues who are your neighborhood, or your co-students, or your students, or your bosses, or your fellow working people. You have to learn to see one day that they are also part and parcel of Lord, and Lord is residing with them. Whole your perspective will change. However, they may be bad with you in behavior or something, but you will still say, that yes, the Lord is residing in them. That is a devotee. So you may have to take harsh decision sometime, you may have to take action sometime, you may have to take disciplinary action, or you may have to appreciate somebody. The background of all these positive, negative activities will be always God. If He is in your life, then you will always consider your decisions based on that. And if God is not in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts, and all your actions will be self-centered. They will not be very generous or kind or compassionate. You told your student, for example, something. If you have an understanding that he also or she is also a part and parcel of God, your action will at least slightly change. Or thoughts will slightly change. Even if you scold, you will not carry the grudge for the students in your heart. I have done my duty to scold him for his better. And next day I'm all right, I'm everything fine. But if you have some personal thing in mind, and next day also you will say, I'll just punish this child again. This student is very rude and I want to show him my power. So in your work, specifically nursing profession, like for example, yourself, if you have to see a child, for example, in your NICU, it's a very, compassionate catching situation. It just draws compassion and attracts you to the child situation. You just can't be mechanical when a child is suffering in the incubator. You can't be so indifferent to it. No? It draws your kindness to the child. But additionally, if you see that this is God's child, we are all God's children, this is also God's child, but this child is very small, under my care in the incubator. So immediately a prayer will come from your heart. Oh my Lord, if you like, please be kind to this child. I am trying my best with the doctor to help the child. Please, you show your kindness to this child. While doing your work only, you don't have to speak anything. You are just doing your work, and while doing that work, in ICU, NICU, in OT, you just are offering a prayer. It can happen only when you are God conscious. It doesn't happen otherwise. And I strongly feel that our field, medical field, nursing field, wherever we are connected paramedically, it needs a lot of God consciousness. Because it is people oriented. It is not wood oriented or iron oriented or something else oriented. It is not mechanical. It's quite life oriented work that we have, right? Always we are dealing with people, life and death, and life threatening situations and challenging situations. We are supposed to serve people in that situation. That's why we need to be spiritual. We need to see the Lord in the church, in the temple, in the deity. We need to learn to see Him in the fellow living beings, so-called devotees, then in all the living beings, and then everything. When you drink water, you should know that the taste of water is God. If you have a breeze coming on you, you should know this is God. Be kind upon us. That is what we should live for. Otherwise, your work will become mechanical and boring. Your being wife will become mechanical and boring. Your being husband will become boring. Your being a teacher will become boring. Your becoming a nurse will become boring. Everything you can render yourself as a boring and most frustrating experience. Is that true? Huh? By taking the life out of it, every activity in life can become boring. You put life back into it, every activity of life will become very enchanting. And what is that life? Life is only God. Remember that. There is nothing else but God, which is life. If that is not there, life has no meaning. Life is simply a boring, frustrating experience. Kab marunga? When I will die? I don't want to live in this anymore. This is what we feel. And remember, when that thought will come to your mind, you should know that it is being not non-God conscious. Your thoughts like this come in your mind, that means at that time you are not God conscious. That's why you think like this. If you that time also in suffering in life, if you remain God conscious, you will say, "My Lord, please give me strength to go through this gratefully, thankfully." That is God conscious. That is spiritual. So please don't live your profession in a very mechanical way. So at home, when you practice spirituality, your work will become spiritual. At home, you don't practice spirituality nicely, your work will become very mechanical, monotonous and boring. So first, individually one has to be God conscious and spiritual. Then whatever you do will become spiritual. Becoming mother or teacher or student or nurse, husband or wife, all the duties of yours become spiritual when you individually are first spiritual. So it's my urge and request to all of you. You can yourself make your lives very enchanting, very pleasurable experiences. Life is very big and very broad and very deep matter to discuss and live. It's not just, we're not like cats and dogs, you know, just go through the power of time. Wake, birth, get old, create children after some time, then get old, get diseased and die one day. This is animal life. It's not nothing great about it. We are human beings. We are bestowed upon by the Lord all the opportunity to make it most meaningful, most purposeful and most blissful. Okay?
Hare Krishna. You're saying is there a
yes.
But a countdown is this final view. But we don't remember our blessings.
There you are.
It is there written all over the place. Every time I see that, thank you for this. Thank you for that. There's only thing we have to be grateful.
We remember our miseries, yeah. Miseries so effectively, no? Everything we remember what happened. But what about the blessing that we have received? When will we count on the blessings? The moment you count on the blessings, you become blissful. The miseries appear to disappear. They appear to flee away from you. The best way to counteract your miseries is to count on blessings. It's a very famous Christian proverb. I have read so many places. Count on blessings. Very powerful and deep statement. This can take you through any miseries of life. And no one can say, okay, no, I don't have any blessings. Everybody is being blessed by so many things in life, right? So many conveniences and so many blessings are there. Any question? We have 9 minutes. Hare Krishna. Yes? Jyoti, you have any question? You have any question? Can ask, no problem. Everybody should share and nourish oneself. Vedayi, madam, you have? How to make the food spiritual? That should be your question. more and spiritual. Okay. Thank you very much.